what made you think you could teach people or become a coach? And I sat there literally for what felt like 60 seconds thinking, I mean, I was searching my mind to try to understand even the question. Because, and I was like, well, what makes me think I could be? Like, I really didn't understand that. You know what I mean? Like, why wouldn't I be able to do that?
Welcome to The Confident Healer. I'm your host, Sharmila Mali. And in this podcast, we have inspirational, uplifting, and soulful conversations about the ins and outs of having confidence as a healer and as a healer in business. A deep confidence and a deep trust in oneself is what my next guest has in spades. This woman is a friend and former business coach of mine, and we have a great conversation about scientific hand analysis and how your level of confidence shows up in your hands. This is not to say all is lost, my friend, so no, don't worry. It's just learning why and how you get stuck in certain areas of your life and how to manage to get unstuck. She had to look up the definition of confidence because it's not how she would describe herself. She was just, quote unquote, being herself and doing the things that she wanted to do. It never occurred to her that that was confidence. She just, as she puts it, I'm just being me. Somehow we end up talking about my journey and struggles with being a healer in business, and we use my hands as a mini sample scientific hand analysis reading. She rereads my hands as if she's never seen them before, and so you'll hear familiar things that I've talked about in many previous episodes. If you've been listening to this podcast, I've definitely grown in my confidence in using my voice and quote unquote putting myself out there. And this guest is one of the people who have helped me formulate healthy ways of developing self-confidence in my work, which of course boosted other areas of my life. We also talk about what's in her hands and where she gets stuck, all through the lens of scientific hand analysis, which is a modality she uses in her work. So let's listen to what it's like to live life without doubt about yourself and learn more about hand analysis with the great Alexi Aldeen, this week's Confident Healer. Hello and welcome to The Confident Healer. I'm your host, Sharmila Mali, and today I have with me someone I have worked with for many years. She was my own business coach and she is my friend as well. She's also the founder and creator of Dare to Be You Academy, where she supports intuitive empaths who want to live their purpose and make a difference in the world to create their first online program. Her signature approach includes uncovering your life purpose blueprint, which is found in your fingerprints and lines in your hands. She says within 30 seconds of looking at your hands, I can tell you why you're stuck and how to get you unstuck so you can share your gifts and get your business off the ground. She's an award-winning speaker, a certified master practitioner of neuro-linguistic programming, also known as NLP, and she is certified in theta healing and scientific hand analysis and has analyzed more than 2,200 hands. So please welcome with a big warm hug, Alexi Aldeen.
Yay! Aw, Sharmila, thank you for having me today here.
Oh my God, thanks for being here. I'm so glad we are finally doing this. Yeah.
Yes.
So tell me, how has the past year been for you?
It's been, you know, it's been interesting to say the least, you know, everything kind of going sideways or upside down and living one day to the next where you're not sure what's going to happen sometimes, you know? Mm-hmm. And then that, of course, following the previous year where three people who were close to me passed away. Mm. And then, yeah, so it's just been an interesting ride. And it really has forced me to, you know, work one of my lessons, which is all about just trust and surrender, right? Mm. Just letting go and letting the universe support you, knowing that you're going to be okay.
Mm. Yeah, that's something I have talked about in past episodes during my solo cast, because I met like two people who had that's what I noticed about them, that they had this deep inherent trust in the unknown, which is really trusting yourself.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And did you feel like that, because you're
a confident person. You're a very confident woman. You know, I've known you for years and we've talked about that. And I'm just wondering, did the pandemic shake your confidence at all personally or professionally or in any?
Well, it's funny because, well, as you know, in my life purpose, one of the things I look at is a theme in your life that you're born with, right? Mm-hmm. And mine is all about, my theme in life is about peace, right? Mm-hmm. Turning panic into peace. So while people who are in what's called the school of love, their main concern is, am I lovable? Will they love me? Will they reject me? The school of peace people are all about, oh my God, am I going to die today?
That's right. I forgot about that, right?
So that's been kind of a challenge to really go, oh, you know, I've really had to take my own medicine this last year of really relying on the work that I do for people and do it for myself. You know, like we have, as healers, I believe you have to take your own medicine in order to share it with others if right. you're any good at what you do, right? And so, yes, so that has really forced me to rely on all the tools I've gathered over the years. And first thing is the trust and surrender piece, trust the universe, trust myself, and really working my, you know, the school of peace lesson, which is knowing that everything's not at stake. I'm not going to die today. It's going to be fine.
Well, that's a good thing. I know that I forgot about that. So what she's talking about these different schools, she's referring to hand analysis. And so what's one of your favorite ways of letting yourself know that you're not going to die today? And we're not talking about offing herself like literally.
Exactly.
The world is going to end somehow for her. And,
yes, yeah. Exactly. Like for someone who's in the school of peace, they're kind of like Chicken Little, right? They literally are extremes. They live in the extremes and they think at any moment's notice, the sky's going to fall and everyone's going to die. They're going to die. Right. And I can't believe this is a topic I'm talking about because one time when I mentioned this in a class, someone approached me and said, you know, you really shouldn't be talking about your shortcomings like that. I was like, but that's kind of what I teach. I lead by example of how you do things, you know, and because she was in the school of love. So that was not her concern. You know what I mean? Because school of love people, again, it's about relating. So one of the ways I like doing it is being outside and just looking up at the sky, looking at the trees and really appreciating how amazing this world is, you know, and feeling grounded, breathing in the air and closing my eyes and just feeling like the breeze touch my face. And just, it makes me, it reminds me how glad I am to be alive. And of course, my little puppies, my animal companions always remind me, you know, so I take them on walks, get grounded with them and yeah, that's how I can get, you know, for me, it's getting back in my body and feeling really grounded and connected.
Yes, yes. Absolutely. That's so wonderful to hear because I think that's kind of your challenge too, right? Is being ungrounded.
Yes. All yes, because I prefer to not be in my body. I prefer to, you know, I always joked as a kid, like if I could just be a walking head, I would be happy. I don't understand this world. And that's, again, the school of peace, because to me, a very simple way to understand the different schools, there's four. School of peace people are what I like to call freshmen. They're new to the body. And so this world, at their best, school of peace people have a childlike wonder about them. Right. And that's what connects me back into my body to look at a little beetle or a ladybug and watch it crawl and then fly. And so school of peace people are freshmen. And then the sophomores are what we call school of wisdom. They're the people who love gathering information, taking all kinds of classes, but never actually doing anything with it. So they're the forever learners, and their challenge is to just jump and take a risk. And that scares the crap out of them. And in School of Love, of course, are people who want to be loved, but need to learn that they're actually very lovable and don't need to sacrifice themselves in order to get that. And then they're the juniors, what I like to call juniors. And then the seniors are School of Service. And if you're a School of Service person, you think that you have to take care of everybody. And it's really hard for you to let other people be of service to you. And their biggest challenge is learning the difference between sacrifice and service.
Yeah, that I'm nodding my head because I'm like, yeah, that's right. I am School of Service. That is so me.
Oh!
So when it comes to, well, let's talk about your journey of confidence, because it's, you know, Angelica and a couple of other people, some other sociologist, she's a social worker, and I have another friend that's a psychologist, you know, they both were on the podcast, they both talked about how, you know, you're born with confidence. And then as you go through life, whether if it's not nurtured, then it starts to dwindle in some areas of your life. And whereas it, if it's nurtured, then you, you know, you just grow, you keep it. You don't lose it and have to find it again. So what was your experience with confidence growing up?
Well, it's interesting because I had to look up the definition of confidence because I just never considered myself, like I never thought of being confident or not confident before. So I looked it up and let's see, the feeling or belief that one can rely on someone or something. So I guess for me, I definitely was a child that came out the chute knowing who I was and wanting what I wanted and doing what I did. And growing up in a Filipino family, that wasn't really encouraged. and a lot of the stuff that was told to me was that I was too much, you know, you're too much. Why can't you tone it down? Why can't you be quiet like everybody else? Why can't you, you know, behave? Mm. And I just never understood why they would want me in my head to not be myself. Like I couldn't help what I was doing, you know? And so it was very confusing, to say the least. And I really fought it. So I was kind of a rebel. So like for example, my mom, when we would go to church, I was raised Catholic. When we would go to church and my little sister and I would fight, right? My mom would pinch me on the leg in order to get me to be quiet. And rather than be quiet, I screamed, ow, stop pinching me. Which mortified her. In the middle of the mass. So then she would drag me by the arm out of the church and into the car to sit there with my grandma or with someone else. So is that confidence? I didn't know that that was a thing. You know what I mean?
Well,
I just knew that that I had certain opinions about the world and a perspective about the world and why isn't my voice worthy of being heard? You know, because I think, I don't know about you, but in my family, it was like the adults trumped kids.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, like you're just a child. You don't know. Be quiet. That right. type of thing. Mm-hmm. And I just, that didn't relate. I just didn't understand that. So I would always push for what I wanted. And so, of course, that's how they would describe me too. The rebel, the confident one, you know, because I didn't behave like most young girls growing up in that type of environment.
Yeah. Well, I mean, you know, you can have confidence in one area and not have confidence in the other area. So when you, did you ever feel like your voice didn't matter growing up, or did you have other means of support as well to help you like, no, your voice matters and
Yeah, in school. I think that's why I loved school so much, because at school, I was totally encouraged. I felt seen. I felt heard. And my teachers loved me. And I would then always ask for extra credit homework, you know? and I was the one that everyone hated because I wanted more homework in school. And people just look at me with daggers in their eyes. But that's where I got my positive reinforcement. Because at home, you know, and I love my parents, but they weren't equipped to nurture me. I would bring home like a B and the rest A's, let's say, and all they would look at was the B. You know, so I was a perfectionist growing up. Like I got 99% one time on a math assignment in third grade, and I seared that equation in my mind that I would never mess that up ever again.
Oh, wow.
And so my goal was always to get 100% in straight A's.
Wow.
And so, yeah, because I was nurtured at school.
So that never, that wasn't like an obstacle that you had to overcome later on in life, is developing your voice and because it was, because you got other messages with your other prominent mentors, which are your teachers.
Yeah, I don't know. I wouldn't, for me, my voice, I don't think so. I mean, if anything, what I discovered was an obstacle in my 20s, which was a weird obstacle, is that, you know, I moved to Los Angeles to become an actress, and I had gotten some roles early on. And my parents, my family, it's not just my parents, but my whole family, they were so close that all the decisions went through everybody, not just my mom and dad. You know, grandparents got involved and aunts and uncles. So they were always wanting me to go back to college, get my degree. And then I did an episode on a show where I played a Filipino, and they were really proud of me. And they were like, oh my God, we all watched it. We told our friends and neighbors, you should get more acting jobs. And what was weird, right? Because that's what I wanted all along, like their approval or their recognition of me. But after that, that's when I lost confidence in myself.
Oh, no, what?
I didn't know who I was for a while there.
Because they approved.
Because they, yes.
And
because,
were
you know, and yes, that was the weirdest experience. Like for the next year or so, I tanked at my auditions. I didn't have the drive that I once had. And I found that really baffling. And that's partly what led me to learn NLP and hand analysis, because I thought, why can't I, what, something's missing now, you know what I mean? Without the disapproval of my family, there was no obstacle to overcome.
There's no motivation.
And so, yeah. Like to, you know, because anytime someone told me, you can't do that, I would always secretly think in my head, yeah, watch me, you know, I'll show you. And so that was a driving force in a lot of my growing up years. And then as an adult, seeing that that was no longer the obstacle, I had to really define what was important to me, like purely me.
And what was that?
Without having to, you know, show my family up or anything.
Right. And what did you find out? What was important to you to give you that inner pull to push you forward? And
well, for me, I discovered I love learning. I love personal development, and I love teaching. You know, when my hand analysis teacher told me I was a spiritual teacher, healer, I thought, no, you know what I mean? I'm an actress. I don't want to do that. I don't want to help people, you know, because I'm not in the school of service like you.
Right.
So that wasn't a driving force for me. And I realized because I no longer had to prove myself to my family, I got to pick and choose, okay, what is important to me? And I do love learning, and I do love sharing with people and teaching them how to achieve their goals and how to accelerate, you know, the learning curve on whatever learning curve they're on. So that's a driving force for me, and it's a passion. Like, I feel alive when I'm doing that.
So hence the,
you know, analyzing hands. It was just a fun thing to do. And then I realized, no, I actually really do enjoy this.
That's so cool.
That I could do this every day and, you know.
Because I'm just remembering, you know, it's just some of the, you know, that you were always, some of your childhood stories that you were telling me, you know, the ambition and then coming out to LA to pursue acting and like the difference between you and I, of course, you know, because of course, in my mind, I'm comparing, I'm like, that's why I just, some of the things, you know, to do something like that, you know, I mean, you just have to have this undeniable force in you, which is like, I am going to succeed, you know? And I think that was like something, I remember you were telling me like when you were taking some sort of, you were in some marketing program and like for you, it was just never a question. Like, I think somebody-
Yeah,
why wouldn't I succeed? And I was like, oh my God, that's the difference. Cause I'm thinking to myself, like, what if I fail? You know, like, can I do this? You know, I'm like, there's so much so my motivation is like self-doubt, whereas yours is. And that always, you know, that I would always be like, okay, so of course you're going to, why would I fail? Why wouldn't I succeed? Of course I'm going to succeed. Like, that's not, that's something I have to like, I had to like constantly tell myself. It was like, okay, this is what Alexi tells herself. So this is what you need to tell yourself.
Yeah, because for me, that was in my NLP training, because there were people in class who hadn't done, you know, in order to graduate, we had a modeling project, and people hadn't done their homework, but I had done three projects, you know, because I was so excited. I loved, again, I love learning and I love sharing. And one of the questions, so the teacher had this person do the homework in front of the class and asked me, you know, if they were modeling me. And they said, well, what made you think you could teach people or become a coach? And I sat there literally for what felt like 60 seconds thinking, I mean, I was searching my mind to try to understand even the question because, and I was like, well, what makes me think I couldn't be? Like, I really didn't understand that.
Mm.
You know what I mean? Like, why wouldn't I be able to do that?
Mm.
But, and I wasn't rebelling against my parents. And that's, you know, yes, like there were certain things I would do to rebel against my family. And I think the greater thing is that I just never thought I couldn't do anything.
See, that's, I mean, I think that's what's so fascinating about you is that, you know, whereas, you know, I think a lot of people think that, and a lot of people don't. And I was one of them. And I can say was, because I am finally reformed. Finally. But I mean, but that was something like, you know, like I was not trying to do well in school. I mean, I wanted to do well in school. And, you know, if it was a, if it was something that I was passionate about, which is something it's in my hands, then I was just like, oh, but if it wasn't something I was interested in, I was like, So, I mean, it's just, it's just fascinating. And that's why I do, this, podcast is to find out because it, everyone's journey is different with confidence and, you know, there's, everyone has ebbs and flows with it and, you know, you can be confident, you know, it's not like I'm not confident in all areas of my life. It just, when it comes to my career, which is like everything, you know, like half your life, whatever I wanted to do, I always had this self doubt planted and constantly like fighting that. It was just like an uphill battle. And so hearing that from you and knowing that, you know, that's what, that's always like was in my head too, was like, okay, like you need to just suppose that everything's going to be all right. You know, it, and it, I'll, and it comes back to like, you know, like that deep trust really too.
Well, if you think about it too, when you look at little kids, right, five and under who haven't been to school yet, they're just running around being themselves. They don't care. They're like, can I have that? Even though it's inappropriate,
right.
They'll just say, hey, can I have that? Can I go across the street? Can I do this? Can I, with nothing, you know? And that's, I think, my saving grace as a School of Peace freshman, Archie, is that I don't understand that there's anything to bump up against until it bumps me back.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? And then you being School of Service, that's the seniors. You've been around the block. You've been around the planet many times, many lives. And so you've experienced a lot. And so it's like now to go back to that innocent place of like, well, what if I was like that, you know, as a kid, just why not? Why can't I do that? I can do that.
Right. Why can't I just run across the street? Because there's cars.
Look both
ways. Look both ways. Alexa, don't, wait. Let's just look before you cross. You know, whereas me, I'm just like, can I cross the street? Can, you know, it's like all these things could happen. Well, what if something happens before I cross the street, you know? So that it's just so fascinating, you know, confidence and courage and self-esteem. And I mean, I'm wondering if does that show up in your hands? So first of all, explain that you don't do palm reading. You are, even though you're reading people's palms, but
yes.
It's not.
Yeah, exactly. What I do is duplicatable and teachable. So it is not a fortune telling session. It's not palm reading, even though I do look at the lines in your palms. It's not predictive. What it is the lines in your hands obviously correspond to different ways that you think, different ways that you be in the world. And then your fingerprints, there's a particular code in them, and there's a ranking system. And, you know, kind of like how you can look at the tree, the rings in the tree could tell you how old the tree is type
mm-hmm.
of thing.
Mm-hmm.
Well, the lines in your fingerprints tell me what your purpose is, you know, that thing that you're meant to do that you do as easily as breathing and makes you feel alive. And they also tell me what your life lessons are, that thing that kind of kicks you in the butt whenever you think things are going really well. They're your blind spots. And they also tell me your school, which is kind of like that overriding theme we were talking about earlier.
Mm.
So I'm sorry, what was the question?
Oh, I was just asking you to explain hand analysis first. And then if confidence, if that's in your hands, if that's something that, you know, that you can see, you know, like, oh, okay. And this is where you lack confidence. Is that something?
Yes.
You...
Yeah. Because usually people who, you know, cause there are people who will have out of the 10 possible lessons you can have, there are 10 possible purposes because you have 10 fingerprints, right? So they're either your purpose or your lesson. And I've seen people who have like 7 lessons.
Mm.
And so that can be really challenging for them. And I've seen people who have their purpose is the same thing as their lesson, which is the same thing as their theme. So that can mess with them. So yes, you can find confidence in the fingerprints and in the hands for sure.
Mm.
I mean, because they'll tell me what your tendencies are, and depending on how you relate to your blind spots or how aware you are of them and how you deal with them will reveal how confident you are in certain areas.
Mm. Yeah, that's so fascinating. And I'm just wondering, like, can you have 10 different purposes?
Yes. But if you had 10 different purposes, usually somebody who has that set up in their fingerprints will have the 10 different lessons as well.
Mm, wow.
Yeah.
I have many lessons.
I mean,
so I'm like,
yeah.
I don't even know.
I mean, yeah, with 10, we boil it down to whatever school you're in. Like, let's say most of your fingerprints are what we called loops. Your purpose is love, your lesson is love, and your school is love. So that person is here to learn all about what it means to be emotionally authentic and express their truth so that they can love themselves unconditionally and love others unconditionally.
Mm.
So that's their purpose, lesson, and school, which can be very confusing because at times they feel confident in it and at other times they don't.
You know, hand analysis is just all these different tools that, you know, people can use to help themselves. It's just fascinating. And that, because I think you said that with hand analysis, at a certain age, your the lines in your hands or your fingerprints are formed, right? When you're in utero?
Yes. About 5 months before you're born. The fingerprints have already formed. So that's kind of like your purpose. That's why I look at your hands as your blueprint or your map for navigating this world. Like, I wish I had known this stuff when I was growing up because it makes so much sense. And when I went to see my family after I got certified, I looked at everyone's hands and I was like, oh, no wonder. Everyone made so much more sense to me when I discovered what they were.
Yeah. And, you know, with purpose, it's not like it doesn't tell you, oh, you're meant to be a cat handler. You're meant to be a doctor. You're meant to be a neurologist. You know, it's purpose as in, you know, if you're not passionate, you have to be passionate about something. Can you explain that, the purpose part?
Yes. Yeah, because a lot of people think your life purpose is a job, and it's not really a job. It's a skill set or way of being. Think of it that way. Because then you could apply, like for you, one of your purposes is passion, right? Mm-hmm. So whatever it is you're passionate about, and your passions could change. Like, there could be a season in your life where all you want to do is travel, and that's what you're passionate about. So that's part of your purpose. Or there's another part where you just want to learn, you know, Reiki and all this energy healing work. And so that's your purpose. But ultimately, you know, that's the way you express your purpose.
Mm-hmm,
but your purpose will always be passion. And that's where, you know, that's where you will thrive. That's where you can make the most money. That's where you can have the most success when you're on purpose. But a lot of people, what happens is their blind spot. The example I like to give is, imagine a quarter, right? Heads on one side represents your life purpose. Tails on the other side represent your life lesson. So can I give you a quarter with just heads on it?
No.
No, you get both.
Yeah.
And the cool thing, though, is think of your lessons as your blind spot, right? As soon as you recognize you're in your blind spot, you flip that quarter over to heads. You've empowered yourself to be in your purpose because that's the thing that's stopping you. Once you recognize it, you're back in the driver's seat where you can take action on your actual purpose. Yours are passion. Oh, I'm just re-looking at your hands here. can I share your purpose?
Yeah.
So your purpose is passionate results as an innovator in the spotlight. And you're totally doing that with your podcast.
Yeah.
Because you're innovating how the conversation of Confident Healer, you're in the spotlight, you're living your passion, and you're creating results with it or success.
Yeah. It's some, as long as it stays fun, then I'll
exactly.
keep doing it.
Yes.
When it doesn't feel fun anymore, I'm like, no, it's done. I'll have to pack it up and do something else. But yeah, that tool, you know, that reminds me of like, oh, right, because I have a message for the masses. And when I'm not doing something to do something, I don't know how to say it. When I am not doing something that helps that message for the masses,
yes.
Which, you know, you always said that. And I was like, well, what? I don't know what to do. Like, what do you, I don't know what that means.
What's my message?
I know, exactly. Your mess is your message, as I say. And I knew that, but I was like, well, I don't know how to, you know, what do I? So it's just, yeah, it's such a fascinating, you know, life is such a fascinating journey. And there's so many things that you can learn to help you along the way to learn more about yourself. And I just find that so empowering. I can see how that can be so empowering for someone who's kind of confused, you know, and I think that's what we confuse too. And I did that for the longest time, is confusing purpose as like your career choice, you know, because it's like, how are you going to support yourself? Like, some people can just do it and not even think about it, even if they hate their job, you know, hate what they do, like, as long as it's, you know, paying for XYZ, it's fine. But for me, it's like, nah, fuck it. I can't. I don't care if it's paying for X, Y, and Z. I have to like, it needs to do something for me. It's more than just about, you know, making money.
Well, with people who have a passion purpose, they have to be having fun in life. They're not the type of people who can clock in and out of a day job and be okay. And especially if you have some of the healer gifts that you have, right? You would not thrive in a 9-to-5 situation.
Right.
If you're a spiritual teacher, like some of the gifts, is it okay if I share some of your gifts?
Yeah, that's fine.
Okay. So like the gifts you have are healer, spiritual teacher, the Persephone gift, which is all about helping lost souls find their way home, the high achiever, message for the masses, the clairvoyant, intuitive, and flashes of intuition and insight. With all those intuitive healer gifts, there's no way you would survive in corporate America.
Right.
There's no way you would survive at a 9-to-5 job, and nor should you try. But I know so many people who are. They're trying to make it and just to survive, and that's why they're just surviving. Because they're not honoring what I like to call your hardwiring. Or their, you know, your design. You were designed to do these things. This is what you brought to planet Earth with you and what you wanted to express. And when you're not expressing these things, you are in what we call the penalty of the gift, which is there to remind you to use it. And you're in your lessons, your blind spots.
Yep.
And it feels really crappy when you're in that.
It does. It totally does.
And oh my God. Right.
Right. And then when we met, I was, in your class, it took me a long time until like another, you know, somebody else in class was like, oh, she just wrote all of her lessons down so that she knew like, okay, if I'm feeling like this, oh, this is why, because I'm not using that gift. So with many gifts come many fucking lessons if you're not working. So don't be envious of all the gifts that she listed out for me, because they come with so many lessons. And if you're not using them, oh my God, you can just feel that. And it does not help my self-esteem. I'll just say that it doesn't. And I think you only have like one or two.
I have one lesson. But I have several, you know, not as many gifts as you, but I definitely have a handful of gifts for sure. I have many similar to you.
Right. I remember that. But what are those, if you don't mind listing?
Mine are Message for the Masses, Gifted Healer, Line of Clairvoyance, Spiritual Teacher, and Persephone, Helping Lost Souls Find Their Way Home. Yeah.
And I guess the biggest lesson for you is just knowing, because your school of, what was it?
Peace
is knowing that everything's going to, the world, the sky is that, which
biggest.
Which is pretty, you know, like I don't walk around the, you know, every day thinking like, is this going to be?
Exactly. There was, depending on what's happening in my life in the past, there have been times where I will literally crash land in my body. Like I feel like I've been, you know, astral projecting, right? Crash land in my body and like open my eyes and go, oh, where am I? You know what I mean? And literally I'll have to look around slowly to make sure I'm safe.
Oh my gosh.
And that's when I'm, so you don't go through that.
Not unless I am very stressed and I take a nap. Or I wake up and I'm like, oh, what day is it? Did I forget that? You know, like in college, that used to always happen. Like, oh my God, am I late for class? No, it's Saturday. Oh my God, when's that test? oh, it's later on today, you know, like, oh my God, did I sleep through? Oh my God. Oh, you know, like that.
Yeah, panic. That's a school of peace. What you're describing. That's their Achilles heel. And then my one lesson is guilt, thinking that there's something wrong with me.
Ah, right. Right.
That lovely guilt lesson.
That's a big one. And what is, I don't know if you can answer this, but like to you, when you're looking at someone's hand, like if someone were to read your hands, would they see like, oh, this is a very confident woman in front of me?
Yes.
And what denotes that?
Well, normally when I look at someone's hands,
mm-hmm.
Normally when I look at someone's hands, I have them shake their hands out and hold them up to me. Right. Mm-hmm. So I could look at their hands. And my hand teacher would just laugh because I shook him out and I literally was 6 inches from her face. And she goes, okay, you could back it up a little, you know? And so for me, my purpose is passionate results. It's really passionate results and the fact that I only have one lesson.
And so that to you denotes confidence, I guess?
That the person will go through life just doing stuff. And that's why, like, I was really curious. I had to look up confidence because I never thought of the word confidence before, that I had it or didn't, because I just went through life just doing me. You know what I mean?
Right.
And so from the outside world, people would perceive me as confident and tell me I was confident, but I didn't know that. Like, you know what I mean?
Right.
I wouldn't necessarily describe myself as that. So I have a question for you.
Mm-hmm.
Is that a word you would describe yourself with or before? Like, did you think you were not confident? And what is that like?
It sucked. And
but was that the word you would use? Like, I'm not confident in this, or
I didn't feel like I felt confident in putting myself out there. Like there was always this debilitating doubt. So yeah, I mean, like I feel confident, like, oh, I'm meeting someone, and you know, you get nervous if it's like an audition or, you know, like a interview, a job interview or whatever. You know, there's like that a little bit of apprehension, which is, you know, it's normal. I can get over that. But, you know, there was when it came to like marketing myself and putting my photo on things, you know, and you'd always tell me like, no, you should put your photo. I was like, no, I don't want to put my, people would always like, no, put your photo on your website. I was like, why should that be the first page? Like, is it like, you know, it was all these things like, isn't that like really egotistical? Like, no, like what? You know, because when your business is you, just like in acting, they would always say, sell yourself. I was like, what does that mean? What do we mean? Sell myself? Like sell my ass? Like, I don't know what you mean. Sell yourself, you know, like. And so, there were times where I felt confident doing things, but most of the time it was just like kind of faking. I was like, all right, well, I'm just going to like put on a good front. But sometimes it would just be so debilitating, and because it was just too vulnerable for me to, you know, because all this other stuff would come up about putting myself out there and like, oh, she does this weird thing called Reiki and like, what are people going to think? And so I would say, in that area of like, even, you know, just kind of doubting my abilities, like, am I smart enough? Am I good enough? You know, that just, it just strips away at your self-esteem, at my self-esteem and my confidence. So I just remember like, you know, I applied for this job when I was living in LA and, I was trying to pursue acting and it would have paid well. And they called me up and they're like, oh, we really, you know, we want you to come in for an interview. And I turned it down because I was just like, I don't know if I could do it. Like, I don't know why they think I can do it. Like, you know,
it was
something like bookkeep. I don't know what it was. It was just something that was boring, but it would have, you know, solved some of my problems at the time of money and not having, you know, paying my car payment and.
Oh, I wanted to ask if you were confident doing Reiki because you're amazing at it.
Oh, yeah. Like I said, I am, But at the same time, it's like, was anything happening here? You know, like, you know, maybe 10 years ago, maybe 5 years ago, even just like, okay. But yeah, I mean, because the whole thing is that I'm, you know, for me, I'm holding space, and it's the guy, it's the energy doing the work, and it's me listening and my guides and their guides telling me what to do. And that's all I do. And that's where I have no doubt that that's what's happening.
Right. The lessons we have as far as in our fingerprints can tell whether or not someone feels confident, and where to look, or how to discover that inner confidence that you actually have.
You know, I think it would make sense if you had a hand that you were looking at. So, I mean, I don't know. Does that appear to you in my hands when you look? Cause I think you have my chart in front of you that, it sounds like,
yes.
Like when you look at that and, you know, without knowing me, you're like, oh, okay. What is that?
Yes. Because is it okay if I share what your blind spots are?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. So your lessons in your fingerprint.
Because I have talked about all of them. But go ahead.
Exactly.
I have no problem telling you what that
is. Okay. Well, now we'll formally do it from your fingerprints. So you have 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 lessons. So you've got half the lessons that are possible in the fingerprints. And so one is powerless and overwhelmed. And so that's all about you're here to learn how to own your power and that you have power. And otherwise, the blind spot is you'll get overwhelmed and feel like you can't do anything. Mm-hmm. And then there's the discipline. Okay. Then there's money discipline, negative self-worth. And, you know, how we value ourselves is so tied into how much money we can manifest because, you know, if we don't value ourselves, how can anyone else value us, right?
Mm-hmm.
To see your inherent value. And just so, you know, for your audience, it doesn't mean you don't have self-worth. It simply means that you're here to really understand about your self-worth, because everyone, you and everyone, is inherently valuable.
Yes.
But the lesson here to learn is that to actually believe it, right? And to mm-hmm. know it.
Mm-hmm.
Because the negative self-worth is there because what someone does with that lesson is they have negative self-talk about themselves.
Mm.
So it really is about learning to love yourself and to nurture yourself like you would a client, right?
Mm, right. So when you saw go ahead.
Oh, and then guilt. You and I share the guilt lesson, feeling like there's something wrong with you, right?
Mm-hmm.
And the guilt lesson is also the perfectionist lesson. People with a guilt lesson will overcompensate by becoming perfectionist, like I did, you know, with school. I had to be perfect, and if I was perfect, then my life would be great.
Right.
Which we know that doesn't happen.
Right. I have the perfectionism, it's just like, well, then why even bother? I think for me, it was, if it's not perfect, then I can't do it.
There you go.
That's what it is.
Because your lessons hang out together. So then your guilt lesson will say, if I'm not perfect, then I won't do it. Then the negative self-worth will say, yeah, see, you suck.
Yeah.
And then you get overwhelmed and don't own your power. And then you also have two more, which is mute. The mute lesson, which is...
the hits keep coming. Yeah. It's so fun. It's so funny because, I mean... You know, when you told me these things and sometimes I would look at them, you know, when we were in class and stuff like that, I'd just be like, yeah, man, that's like, that's me. That is my whole fucking life there. So yeah, go ahead.
So it's all about feeling difficulty speaking up for yourself and asking for what you want. So that tells me that you came here to really understand and you're dedicated to speaking up for yourself. And then, of course, there's the trust and surrender intimacy lesson,
mm-hmm.
which is learning how to trust and surrender to the process, to relationships, and ultimately to yourself.
Mm-hmm.
So, yes. So when I met you, you were in a lot of your lessons. But here's the thing. I just want to reflect back to you. look at how amazing. You couldn't have done this podcast without working your lessons.
Right.
Right. The mute lesson. Look at you speaking up for yourself and speaking up, sharing other healers' stuff, right?
Yeah, right.
Yes. And then the trust and surrender, knowing that it's going to be fine and knowing that the guilt lesson, that there's nothing wrong with you, and then managing the negative self-worth lesson to say, no, this is awesome. I'm awesome. And then the powerless and overwhelmed, there's no way you could have done as many episodes as you have,
right?
You know, without working those lessons, which then puts you in your purpose, which is being a successful, passionate healer, intuitive, high achieving, sharing your message with the masses, helping lost souls find their way home. Purpose.
Yeah.
You're totally in your purpose doing this podcast.
Yeah. Yeah. It feels so good. I mean,
it's your yummy place.
It is. It is. It fulfills so many things, you know, like especially during pandemic when you can't gather, especially if you're extroverted. So you get to meet new people and talk to them about, you know, our favorite stuff, which is healing and spirituality and self-improvement. And yeah. So yeah. Checks all the boxes. So just going back to confidence, like when you first look at my hands and, you know, you're analyzing everything. And
when I first saw your hands, so we'll talk specifically you.
Yes.
When I first looked at your fingerprints, you know, because when I see someone's hands, I feel like I know them intimately. Mm-hmm. Like I really get them. And when I saw yours, I thought, wow, this woman does not know how amazing she is. Mm-hmm. So I'm going to share with her, you know, how amazing she is and that I see her.
Mm. Yeah. Yeah.
Because all these lessons simply mean you want to understand how powerful you are. You want to understand how valuable you are. You want to understand that you have a voice that can speak up. You want to understand intimacy. Mm-hmm. So, you know, because a lot of people think, oh, my lessons, I'm a loser. It's like, no, this is just your curriculum that you set up for yourself in this earth school that I want to understand all these things. And how I want to manifest and channel them is through being a passionate individualist healer, sharing a message publicly, helping other people find their way.
Yeah. Yeah. And this is like, I'm just thinking like how long ago this was, like when we met, it's like 5 years ago in 2016. So it wasn't like, you know, when you get this information, so if you, you know, contact Alexi, who's amazing, and you get this information of like, I have all these gifts, but then it's like, oh, it comes with all these other stuff. You know, it can be really overwhelming and it's just like, what? I don't understand. And the way through it is just by doing, you know, and that's what you were always trying to get me to do is like, you know, teach something on live on Facebook, do this and do that. And, you know, and I would do it like, and then I would go run and hide, you know?
Yeah.
It was such a non-starter. It was like start, stop for me. And I mean, like, but that's, you know, some people are maybe much faster learners when it comes to things like that. But especially when I had been dealing with that for so long, you know, just low, you know, just not valuing myself and not thinking that I was worth anything. You know, that takes a while and it's not like I didn't have therapy for it. It's not like, you know, that's why I got into healing was to help me with that. And that's why it's so fascinating. You know, there's so many different modalities and so many different things to help you along the way. And they all help. They all help. And it's some of it's right away. And some of it, it takes time because there's like, for me, I have five fucking lessons. And it took me a while to be like, okay, right. Cause I'm not doing this. That's why I feel like a piece of nothing shit. Right. So, yeah.
Yes. Well, and then if we layer,
human
design on top of this, right? Because I'm a human design enthusiast. Mm-hmm. That, so your style also, you know, being a projector, that was huge to see that, oh, as a projector, Sharmila needs to be invited and then she's in her happy place. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean?
Right.
So that's why I've begun layering that on top of the hand analysis.
Yeah.
Because then you could just be your own best friend and cheerleader to realize that, oh, I'm not wired like that other person who just goes out there and does it.
Yeah.
You know, because I think all these different modalities are really there for, at least for me, to have a greater understanding and acceptance of myself just the way I am.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah. And that's the whole point of this podcast. That's why you do what you do, what I do. I do what I do is just to self-love, you know, finding those different ways and finding those shadows to love and understand and nurture and work through so that you can be free of it, you know? So that gives perfect segue into, do you have any upcoming workshops or classes coming up?
Yes, I'm actually going to be doing some free life purpose masterclasses coming up in May. So, and I'm just thinking of the format of it. It'll probably be a four-part series type of thing, where people can discover different parts of their hands and how understanding those facets of you can actually help you live your purpose, achieve your goals faster, and really show up in the world in your power and with a little more self-appreciation.
Mm. Yeah.
Because I think people don't appreciate themselves enough.
Oh my God, this entire episode is is a testimonial to Alexi's work. I mean, yeah, because
can I tell you, when I saw your thing come through my Instagram going, podcast, when did she start doing that? And I was so proud of you. I was like shocked, number one, going, oh my God, she's putting herself out there. Finally. And then number two, I was just so proud of you and so thrilled.
I know. I got all your messages. She texted me and yes. I know. I was like, can you believe it? What? And you know, I
was blown away.
It was just kind of, you know, when you bloom, and it had been four years at that point last year.
Yeah. What inspired you? Because I don't, because I haven't listened to your other episodes where you talked about it. I know I have to catch up.
Oh my gosh. No.
What like was the invitation to do this?
Let's just dial it back a little. Speaking of human design. So what I found out about projectors, the nuances, it's not just waiting to be invited. It's recognizing yourself so that other people see you. So that's what I just started doing, was just kind of recognizing myself. And then, you know, with not working, you know, I had that other job at the spa that kept me really busy.
So just to clarify, what I was trying to say is people had suggested to me that I do something similar to a podcast.
Because people had suggested to, and I was like, I don't want to do that every, like, I just didn't have the bandwidth. I didn't have the energy. I have like way too much other shit going on. And you know, after Kesley and I, who was on episode 3, and you know, I interviewed her recently, we had did that speaker series, the Heal Your Pain series, which was so much fun. I was like, oh my God, I want a talk show. And that's what I want. I was like, I just want to do a talk show. Like, I just want to talk to people, and you know, that'd be great. That would be so much fun. And that was just in my head, having a talk show. And it's like, okay. And you know, and then that got put to the side because, you know, I have other things going on. And then the pandemic hit. I think what really struck me was just all these different cases coming out about Black people getting hunted down, like Ahmaud Arbery. And then of course, George Floyd. And I just thought, what can I do? Because that social justice activism is always, you know, that's something I've always been passionate about. Like, what can I do about that? And so part of the podcast is interviewing people of color, Black and Indigenous people of color, whether they be LGBTQIA, BIPOC. So that is to have this platform, because I don't see a lot of us on these speaker series or out in, you know, scrolling through my Instagram. So that was part of it. And to talk about confidence, because I think we all have, you know, our setbacks and shadows, but I think especially if you're an immigrant, like you, you know, your family's an immigrant, I'm an immigrant. I immigrated. And then adding, being a person of color to that, you know, there's some nuances that, you know, kind of like add to your life lessons and that are enriching that and can kind of hold you back in some ways too. But the stories are all the same. You know, we all overcome something and we teach what we've overcome. So that's why I was just so emboldened by the support and outrage over what was happening to like Breonna Taylor and George Floyd and like countless other people. It's not like I didn't know that that was happening. But I think during a pandemic, when everything is quiet, you know, I was just like, okay, now it's time to not just, you know, make a post on social media. It's time to do something to speak up more.
Well, in your human design, if we layer your life purpose from hand analysis and your human design, your business, the way you're meant to do business is based in the root section. And it's all about the fighter, fuel to fight and stick with a cause.
Mm.
That's your business. And that's where you're meant to be. So you're doing this and the reason behind it is exactly right.
Mm.
You know, especially for your design and the other piece. And it's also about you creating content, which is what you're doing with this podcast.
Yeah.
You're creating content to get your message out there. Yeah. And being aware of who's right and not right for your team. There's a certain alertness about you now. And so you're totally with this podcast, Sharmila, are totally in your purpose.
Yeah, yeah, definitely.
Even the content and the why behind it.
Yeah, I mean that's so important. Like, I wouldn't just do it just because, like, oh, I just want to, you know, like it, you know, like I knew I wanted a talk show. I was like, oh, I, you know, what if I talk to healers? And
that's so awesome. I'm so proud of you.
I'm doing it.
You're totally doing it. Oh my god, you're totally doing it.
So, any parting words of wisdom, Miss Alexi, about confidence for healers out there, for other healers?
I think confidence is when you have self-acceptance, good, bad, ugly.
Mm-hmm.
And it's really having, to me, it's about having loving allowance of what's awesome about you, because I know people who don't have loving allowance for their awesomeness, don't even recognize it.
Mm-hmm.
And also for the parts of us that maybe don't feel so good about how we're wired, you know? And yeah. I think that loving allowance can go a long way to being comfortable in your own skin in this world.
Mm-hmm. Exactly. I love it. I love it, love it, I love it. Thank you. Thank you so much for being here today. So you can, again, this will be in the show notes. You can find out more about Alexi and her upcoming free master classes at her website, askalexi.com. Askalexi, ALEXI.com. So with a big warm hug, let's give her a big hug goodbye. Thank you. Thank you so much for being here today, imparting all your wisdom and explaining about confidence and how you can see it in your hands. You can see that.
Oh, thank you so much, Sharmila, for having me on the show. I've really enjoyed it. And I'm happy for you. I mean, I'm just so tickled that you are on purpose and that you're getting the word out there for other healers.
Thank you.
So thank you for letting me be a part of it.
Of course. I'm so excited. I'm so happy you're here. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. So thank you so much for everyone for listening, and we'll see you next time. This is Sharmila Mali, and this is the Confident Healer Podcast. Bye. Thank you for listening. Please go to www.theconfidenthealer.net. This is the best place to listen to the podcast, and it's also where you can go and find the guest info in the show notes. Remember, there are three important actions to take to help grow the show. Invite others to listen, leave a review if you learned something new, or if you just learned something, and by leaving a donation. You can find the links on theconfidenthealer.net. Thank you so much for listening, and we'll see you next week.